Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of how to deal with the sorrow that comes over choices we make that produce negative consequences that we can't undo. That kind of sorrow is called regret and guilt. And we've already covered a lot of ground. It's already Thursday. Let's just jump right into it where we left off yesterday. Everybody has done something we really regret, including me. Everyone feels guilt, remorse over things we've done. It can be something where we knew we shouldn't have done it, but we did it anyway. It can be something that we thought was a good decision, but it didn't turn out like we thought. It can be an outright sinful decision. How do you deal with the guilt, the regret, the remorse that arises from choices that produce negative results beyond your power to change? How do you encourage yourself when you feel this kind of pain? Because hopefully you can see a theme by now. The way we deal with negative emotions is to encourage ourselves or strengthen or cheer ourselves with knowledge from God's Word. Cheer is not an emotion. Cheer doesn't mean be happy, put a smile on your face, sing a little song. No, it means strengthen yourself by encouraging yourself, by talking about who God is and what He has done, is doing, and will do. That's how you deal with the regret and the guilt that you feel over choices that produce negative consequences. But what does that look like in a real person's life? And we began to look at something that happened to Peter. Peter denied the Lord on the night before he was crucified. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter at first defended him with a sword, cut a guy's ear off, a servant of the high priest, but Jesus put the ear back on, and when the disciples realized Jesus wasn't going to resist arrest, they all fled. And we're told, all four Gospels tell us about this. This is a big deal. I mean, it's up for public observation. All four Gospels tell us Peter followed behind Jesus as he was taken to the authorities. But when he was accused of knowing Jesus by servants in the building in which he was standing when Jesus was on trial, Peter denied that he knew the Lord three times. He abandoned Jesus in his hour of need, his friend, his Lord. They've been close associates for 3.5 years, and Peter abandons him. Now, fear no doubt drove Peter to do it. When pressed by those asking if he knew Jesus, Peter lied about it. He swore that he didn't know him, and he even cursed that he did not. And then, at one point, after he did it, Jesus was being led through a portico, and Peter and Jesus' eyes met. And it's like Peter said, oh my Lord, what have I done? And the scripture says he wept bitterly. His failure was exposed. Now, how do you get beyond that? And like I said yesterday, don't hear this as like a nursery or as a Sunday school story. This is a real human being whom you're going to meet in heaven, who at that time did not know how it was going to turn out. All he knew was he abandoned his friend in his hour of need, and it actually got worse before it got better, because Jesus is going to end up being crucified and put in a grave, dead. How did he deal with that? Now, Jesus had told all of his disciples at the Last Supper that they were going to abandon him. He specifically said, you're all going to be offended this night and fall away because of me. And that's when Peter piped up and said, well, everybody else may abandon you, Lord, but not me. So he's even got that going on as he's dealing with his regret. The Lord tried to tell him, Peter, you're not where you think you are in your walk with me. You're going to do something really, really stupid. and you're going to really regret it. And I'm trying to warn you, but Peter says, not me, Lord. Everybody else might, but not me. And then Luke's gospel, Luke 22, gives us a further detail. Jesus told Peter, Peter, Satan is going to try to sift you as wheat tonight. To sift as wheat. It's from a metaphor that they used, meaning to separate the usable part of the wheat from the unusable part of the wheat. And it was used figuratively to mean test to see who'll keep standing. Peter, Satan's going to try to knock you out of the game tonight, and by convincing you to abandon me. If he can do it by getting you to abandon me, or if he can guilt you into it to where you feel so guilty that you won't come to me anymore, that's what he's going to try to do. Now, I made the point as we were coming to the end of the broadcast yesterday that that word offended, where Jesus said, you're all going to be offended tonight, actually comes from the Greek word scandalon. And the word literally means the trigger of a trap or the part on which the bait is placed. When it is touched by the animal, it springs and causes the trap to close and the creature is trapped. Offended there. Offenses are traps of the devil. Now, offenses can be, well, you insulted me, but they can also be emotional situations. When our emotions are raging, particularly due to calamity in our lives, like the arrest of your Lord and friend and his crucifixion, and you did nothing to stop it, that's when we're most vulnerable to the mental schemes and the strategies of the devil. That's why it's so important to learn to put what God says above what, above everything, what we see and what we feel. See, nowhere does the Bible tell us to beware the power of the devil. Rather, it tells us to beware of his mental strategies. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil there. Or the wiles of the devil. Wiles there has the idea of mental strategies. See, the depth of Peter's emotional pain in this night, his guilt, his regret, his remorse, makes him a perfect target for the devil to come and whisper lies to him. You've failed the Lord. He'll never have you back. Why don't you just go kill yourself tonight? This is so bad, it can't be undone. There's no way back. This is hopeless. This is the hopeless, most hopeless situation you could ever be in. Have you heard those words in your brain, in your mind? You probably have. The devil's got nothing new. It's the same bag of tricks he uses on all of us. You gotta know how to deal with this. Now, back to Peter's denial of the Lord. We don't have any record of Peter's thoughts and emotions during the next 3 days while Jesus is dead, body lying in the tomb. We can only imagine how he felt based on what we would think and feel, because he was human just as we are. But the same principles we've been studying these past few weeks in regard to dealing with emotions would have applied to Peter. He needed to do what you and I, what I'm telling you from the Word of God, that we need to do. Peter, like each one of us, needed to remember and encourage himself with Jesus' words to him. Now, whether or not Peter did this, like I say, we don't know. Thankfully, he recovered out of this, and we'll talk about that. We'll start it today and finish it up tomorrow. But here's what he could have done in this situation. He could have applied the principles we've been discussing these past few weeks. He could have remembered and encouraged himself with Jesus' words to him. He could have reminded himself, hey, Jesus knew this was going to happen. He told me. He knew, and he didn't seem upset when he was talking to me. I mean, it seemed like he was trying to help me. He wasn't trying to help himself. He was trying to help me. He said he'd pray. He had prayed for me. He told me that. I heard him say it. And he told me I'd make it through this. So even though my mind is racing with this is a hopeless situation and I might as well throw myself in the river, I know that Jesus said, I'll make it through. And I also remember Jesus said he'd see us in Galilee. And that's a fact in Luke 22, 32 and Matthew 26, 32. Jesus told them right before he was crucified, when I'm risen, I'll meet you in Galilee. I'll see you in Galilee. Peter said, I don't understand what he meant by that he'd meet us in Galilee, and he's dead now. But everything he has told, everything he told us up to this point came to pass just like he said it would. So am I going to see him again in Galilee? Now, this drama ended well because Jesus was raised from the dead. We know that. But even though he was resurrected, this would not have automatically cleared up feelings of guilt and regret in Peter. Emotions are real. The devil is real. And dealing with emotions can be really challenging. Probably some of you have feelings of regret over something you did where it all turned out right and, you know, your relationship was restored or whatever. It worked out right, but you still felt guilty. You still felt regret. Think about Peter. Every time he walked by the high priest's palace in Jerusalem, which was the actual place where he denied Jesus, it would have stimulated his emotions of guilt, regret, and shame. And that's his natural inclination. It would have been helped by the devil, because the devil doesn't give up. His natural inclination, helped by the devil, would have been to fixate on the, oh, if only I hadn't done this. What if I had just listened to Jesus at the Passover meal when he was trying to help me? Can you relate to that? Do you understand what I'm saying? You've probably struggled with this. I know I have. How do you get past that? How could Peter get past it? Well, remember one of our key principles here. You can't undo what you've done. Peter can't undo what he has done. He can't undo the fact that he denied the Lord three times the night of his crucifixion. He can only deal with it as it is now. Peter had to do just what you and I have to do. He had to put what God said above what he could see and feel. See, that's the key here. We all have to do this. He would have had to recount how, when Jesus rose from the dead, he paid a personal visit to Peter to restore him. Did you know that? We've got that detail recorded two times in the scripture. In Luke 24, which recounts Resurrection Day, verse 34, this is where Jesus appeared. He appeared to the guys that were walking on the road to Emmaus and then disappeared, Luke 24. And then these two disciples joined the rest of them in Jerusalem. They were hiding out in a room. And those guys, the 11 minus Judas, said, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And then Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, that the Lord appeared to Peter. Let me read it. "And he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. He went to see Peter first. Peter would have had to remind himself, if something was amiss between the two of us, Jesus wouldn't have come to find me, but he came to find me first and to restore me. Peter had to believe the word of the Lord to him. That's what you and I have to do to deal with regret and emotions. We'll finish this up tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.